And welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome, thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode. And this is episode 38, that's 38, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/38. In today's episode, I had a conversation with Heather Stout. She's a UX product manager at BioRaft. BioRaft is a laboratory safety software company. And Heather herself is not a developer, but she works very closely with developers on her team. Having a career in development, you're going to spend a lot of your time trying to articulate technical ideas to non-technical people. And Heather finds herself in an interesting position where she has to get technical ideas from her developers, and she has to take that information, translate it into a way that she can explain it to less technical individuals. A lot of her job is about communicating with her team, with stakeholders, with a lot of other people. And I found that to be so central to having a career in development that it's crucial you are able to take your technical knowledge and translate it in a way that other people can understand. So Heather and I talk about the ways she communicates with her team and how they communicate with her and the tools and the processes they use to make sure everything's being communicated clearly. So after me and Heather talk, we'll come back and I'll hopefully distill it to a couple of points and then have some other news to share with everybody. Heather, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate having you here today.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you just start out by telling the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So my name is Heather Stout. I'm a UX product manager with BioRaft, which means that I help our team figure out what it is that we should be building or fixing so that our customers and our users can do what they need to do with the least cursing and crying possible. I have a master's in human factors and information design from Bentley University, which is basically a fancy way of saying I know how to organize information in useful ways so that I can figure out what it is that we should be doing so that our customers can do what they need to do with the least cursing and crying possible. Really, we're trying to minimize the cursing and crying. That's really the goal of my life.
I think that's a very good goal and a very important need in any organization.
Yeah. Maybe minimize the head banging against a wall too.
So I would say, in hearing you say that your main role is to help, you know, your team figure out what to do. You're trained on how to organize info in a useful way. Communication plays a very important part in your interaction with developers and development.
Oh, absolutely. I literally spend all day either talking to developers about where projects are, what we can possibly do, because we know that sometimes people come up with these great ideas that are just not really feasible. So trying to figure out what is feasible with our particular limitations and, you know, talking to other members of the product team who have domain knowledge, talking to our professional services team. So I go from being the, I don't know what this technical stuff is, you know, like this is what we have you for, to then having to turn around and translate that conversation to people who know less of the technical stuff than I do. So it's definitely a little bit of a game of translator or telephone, but then I get to be in the middle of it. And it's a lot of fun.
Explaining technical things to people who are less technical than you, and then knowing that someone may have to take that and explain it to someone who's even less, more or less technical. It's one of the toughest things I know in my experience as a developer to learn how to do.
There's certainly times where there's developers who are clearly struggling to dumb it down enough to the point that I can understand it. And so then it just sort of reaches this point of, okay, someone's just got to trust someone, you know that people know what they're talking about. But that's taken a long time for our team to get to that point. All of our developers have been here for at least a year. Our newbie has been here for over a year. I've been with the team for 4.5 years. I came on as an intern. So we've had that time as an internal team to build that trust. When you have newer members, or if you're working with external customers as a contractor, that trust isn't necessarily there. So you need to work a little bit harder to dumb it down without making the other person feel stupid. But I know I also try really hard to give the sort of benefit of the doubt and try not to make people dumb it down too much, because I understand, like, they're doing the thing that they're doing because they're good at it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them. So they have to know something that I don't know. Otherwise, I would be doing that. And I'm not doing that. And I don't want to do that.
With dumbing it down, that's a very important thing that I want to get into with you and mm-hmm. figure out how you handle that. But first, I want to go back for a moment where you were talking about a big thing about trust and trusting mm-hmm. your team. If we all think about it, all your relationships and who you talk with in your life is all built on trust, where, you know, if you have a partner or whoever, where you guys can kind of just stare at each other across the room and know what you mean, building mm-hmm. up that sort of trust, even in a development team, that can happen, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. So if you are a developer and you're new to a team, knowing that you're going to have to work extra hard at first to figure out how to communicate with your team, and that what mm-hmm. you say they may not understand, or what they say you may not understand. So building that trust is a very important first step to building clear communication channels between yourself and your team members.
Absolutely. I mean, we joke that, you know, I speak Heatherese and the team has just sort of learned how to understand what the weird hand motions and like attempts at words mean. And my boss jokes that I can translate for him to the rest of the team. But really, while we joke about it, it's really quite literal. Everyone communicates so differently. You know, there are some people who, if you want to get a good answer from them, you Slack them or Skype or whatever your text-based communication is. For other people, they need emails, because then it's not in their face, but it's still the text-based communication. Other people, you're literally not going to get a straight answer that makes sense to you unless you hop on a 5-minute phone call. And some people, it's more than 5 minutes. And so one of the things that I've worked hard to do with my team is make sure that I am approaching the correct person in the correct way at the correct time. We all know those people who you do not talk to them before their first cup of coffee and maybe their second or third. And it's really the same thing. It's knowing how to approach people to make the best use of everyone's time. And of course, emergencies happen, you know. There are times where I need to talk to a specific person right now. I don't care if they're asleep. I need to talk to them now. You know, we all have servers that we're beholden to, and, you know, there are all sorts of fires. And so, you know, those are all special situations. Otherwise, just hold on for 10 minutes if someone can finish their coffee.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point you just made about learning that different people prefer to communicate in different ways within your team, with clients. Can't treat communication the same way across the board because everyone's different. To communicate between your team and build up that trust, it's learning what ways work best for each person and trying to stick to that when you can, obviously, like you said, with the exception of emergencies.
And also it's figuring out what you need from the conversation, because if you need something from me, you should approach me in the best way for me to communicate. But if you're just sort of giving me good news or something special or whatever, then yeah, sure, do what works for you. Because if you're approaching the people in the better way for them to get bad news, then bad news isn't as bad.
Like if you have to explain to a client, we're not going to reach this deliverable, but you say in the way, the right way that they understand and they can, that they prefer, mm-hmm. they can process it better.
Because sometimes the text-based communication, that's really the most convenient. I mean, I am a millennial. I love texting, 140 characters or less, all about it. But sometimes that can come across as really terse. And so if you're delivering a delicate message or a message that can be taken multiple ways, maybe 140 characters isn't my best bet. And a smiley face doesn't always do the trick. Sometimes it does. My team is really big on emojis.
It's so big
on emojis.
It's an important way to communicate. I mean, you can use emojis in code now for certain languages. So But another thing you brought up, you just mentioned it casually, but having a point of communication, I think professional communication in your career, it's small talk is great, but definitely if you're trying to communicate something, making sure you have a reason why you're going up to your senior developer, or your boss, you have a reason why you're approaching them because they're busy, they have things to do, and you need to be able to know, why am I going to this person? What do I need to get from them, and or what do I need to give them?
Relationship building is still crucial. That gets back to what we were saying about trust. And in some situations, you can absolutely build trust by just being incredibly competent and responsible and doing what you need to do when you need to do it. But that doesn't always build up that rapport. Yeah, building the relationship, making sure that you're talking to people in the way that they need to be talked to and that they need to be explained to, and not necessarily all the time. It still makes us people first. And it's really important to remember that we're working with people. Yes, we're working with code, we're working with machines, we're working with systems, but we're also at the end of the day working with people.
That's a very, very, very important point. I'm glad you said that. And goes back to everything we were saying at the very beginning about how it's all based on having a relationship, so that when you say, this isn't working, trust me, I know how to fix it, you have that underlying relationship where you don't have to explain the million steps you have to do to fix it, but your team knows, or your clients know, or anybody else on another team that you work with. When you're talking about development and you have to explain things, I'm going to say 90% of the time you have to explain it to non-technical people. So as someone who has to receive dumbed down information and provide dumbed down information, what have you seen in your experience that works well and doesn't work well?
Anytime that you can genericize terms, then it's better. So especially when you're talking about multiple versions of things, sometimes there are these very loaded terms. Permission is one of them. Like, what I mean when I say permission is very different than the technical term of permission, because what I mean is I want this person or this group of people to be able to do something, or I want them to not be able to do something. Maybe that also involves a role or something else that I don't know about at all. So if you're talking about what people can and can't do, I try to refer to them as people, not users, as much as possible, because when just users, like, well, it's a pain in the neck for this user. Okay, who cares as much? But when it's a pain in the neck for this person, it's like, oh, wait, there's going to be actual people using this system, that it's going to impact their lives in some way, shape, or form. And so let's think about this a little bit more. As much as you can use higher level terms, and something to remember, sometimes you're talking to people who used to be in the weeds back in the day. So their skills are not necessarily directly applicable, but that doesn't mean that they're at the same level as me. It kind of gets back to that trust and relationship piece, knowing how much you have to dumb it down. I generally prefer it when people start just a little bit above my head, and then if I need them to simplify, to do so. There's a concept, explain it like I'm five, but I'm not five. I'm an adult who knows a lot of things. Maybe not these things, but I know a lot of things. So when people talk to me like I'm five, it's just like, no, I'm an adult, and it makes me want to stamp my foot, which really does not help that whole I'm an adult thing. But, you know, it puts me on the defensive. And so that's, you know, not a helpful place for the conversation. Sometimes you need to just sort of ratchet it down in simplification, you know, one step at a time. And something that works really well for us is using metaphors. So sometimes I cannot understand what is going on. And so my developer will start talking to me about, well, you know, when you're driving your car, various things like that. And it's like, oh, okay, I understand the world around me. I understand the implications of those things. So what you're saying is, if that's a situation for this metaphor, then that means this for our particular coding problem.
That's a very clever tool for you and your team to use, metaphors, because it's about finding that common ground between the person you're speaking with so that you can relate things in a common way so they can relate it however they relate. I mean, that goes back to actually how like all communication works pretty much, but that's an amazing tool to use for explaining technical things to non-technical people.
Yeah, and I mean, if we want to get really philosophical, all communication is metaphor, but...
That's true.
But there's also nonverbal ways to do it. We use sticky notes a lot. And so there'll be literally just, you'll look at it and it looks like something that a five-year-old might have drawn. There's like weird shaped squares and arrows and circles. But the act of actually drawing it out along with the conversation is like, oh, well, then this happens and that happens. And well, okay, now it's making sense. And so sometimes my team knows they need to get on a call with me and we need to turn on our cameras and they need to see me do this interpretive dance that is me trying to explain something for us to really be on the same page.
So don't be afraid to use more than just words.
Right.
Yeah. Use symbols, use motion, because that's something that humans, that's what we interpret, right? Patterns, that's what we use to communicate with. So for developers out there to remember that it's more than what you say. You have other tools out there like drawing diagrams and doing interpretive dances on the camera for your team.
And I mean, especially if you're talking about any sort of process, sometimes literally the act of starting in one spot for the first step and then, okay, the next step, you literally step over and either you can step left or right or forward depending on. And so that's another way to do the metaphor and get your steps in for the day.
Two great things, combining exercise and explaining things. And that also brings up a good point of even when you are trying to explain things with, you know, symbols or other methods, you don't have to worry about how exact you have to be. You know, people may say, I don't understand. Show me what the network looks like. And you don't have to be like, oh, great. I don't know how to draw a network diagram. That doesn't matter. You know how to draw a diagram. You know how to make, as long as it makes sense to the audience you're talking to, then you're doing it the right way. So that leads into something I think about also is knowing who you're talking to, knowing who your audience is and what their understanding level is. Can we relate it into terms that they did know? Can we bridge that gap? Or we know that they are a marketer or they are a scientist. So can we relate it to things that they know? I want to end it off then with a question for you, Heather. What would be your one piece of non-technical career advice for developers?
Remember that you're dealing with people. People can make your life easier or people can make your life harder. And when you do have to have these conversations that are not the easiest, your approach matters, whether it's delivering bad news or getting further clarification when, you know, you thought that you knew what was going on and whoever you're reporting to thought knew what was going on. If you ask something nicely, if you come to them humbly, as opposed to, whatever, something blew up, not my problem, you're gonna get a very different response. Also, off of that, I'm gonna give you two things.
Great.
Remember that your communication style may not be theirs, and because of that, miscommunication can arise because you could send signals that you didn't even realize you were sending.
Two helpful pieces of advice for any developer out there. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time to be on my podcast.
It was so great to be here.
All right, thank you.
No worries.
I want to thank Heather again for taking the time to talk with me on the very important subject of communication. If you want to know any more about Heather, you can find her on LinkedIn at Heather Stout. That's STAUDT. I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode. And if you want to know more about how Heather and her team communicate, the BioRaft development team has a website full of presentations where themselves and other people in their community have presented topics on technical and non-technical subjects. You can find that at DrupalKnights.org. Full caveat, I may have one or two videos on there myself. What did we learn with communication and the ways that Heather explains how her and her team communicate? The thing to remember in a career in development is most of the time you're going to be communicating with non-technical people or people who have less domain knowledge than you. as Heather put it. You know, you're hired for a reason. You have a specialty knowledge that other people don't have. So you need to think about how you're communicating those ideas and making sure the people you're talking to understand what you're saying. Number of ways you can do that. I like the idea of using metaphors. I tend to use those a lot. I thought that was a great idea. Don't be afraid to use nonverbal cues such as graphs and, you know, sticky notes and interpretive dance if you need to. And try to understand the medium for communication that works best for the people you're talking to so that they better internalize and understand what you're trying to say. A couple other things I wanted to share with you all out there. Again, right now I have a listener survey going on. It's available at developingup.com/survey. Thank you so much to the listeners who's already filled it out. I'd like to keep it going at least till the very end of season two. So please, please, if you could, fill out that survey at developingup.com/survey and let me know what you think of the show. I'd really appreciate it. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.